and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Trump-era immigration raids have begun.
26 years in business, I've never seen anything like this.
A store owner in Newark, New Jersey, says ICE agents raided his business and detained several people.
A couple of the guys couldn't show their identification. Three of them got arrested.
CBS New York's Ali Bowman on the sweep across the Hudson.
Mayor Ross Baracus saying in a statement ICE agents detained undocumented residents as well as citizens without producing a warrant. One of the detainees is a U.S. military veteran who suffered the indignity of having the legitimacy of his military documentation questioned.
A final Senate vote could come as soon as today on the president's controversial nominee for Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. Yesterday, he cleared a procedural vote despite opposition from Democrats and a couple of GOP lawmakers. CBS's Torian Small.
Senators Lisa Murkowski of Alaska and Susan Collins of Maine were the only two Republicans to vote no. Hegseth can only afford to lose one more Republican vote to still be approved.
President Trump is set to tour parts of Los Angeles today, hard hit by wildfires. Officials report the massive Hughes fire that broke out in Castaic this week is now 36% contained. L.A. County Fire Captain Sheila Kelleher.
We definitely have plenty of water, plenty of resources. We're, you know, well over 4,000 personnel on this fire. You know, we've got the reservoir right there we can dip out of and draft out of.
Walmart, McDonald's, and Amazon are all scaling back DEI initiatives, but not one big box chain. CBS's Heather Bosch is in Seattle.
A conservative think tank urged Costco shareholders to ask the retailer to review its diversity, equity, and inclusion policies following decisions by Walmart, John Deere, and other major companies to dial back DEI. But at Thursday's shareholders meeting, 98% voted against the proposal.
Hamas is expected to release four more hostages tomorrow as part of a ceasefire agreement with Israel. The BBC's Yolande Nell.
Hamas is also due to provide Israel with long-sought information about who is alive from the list of 30 remaining hostages due to be freed in the first six-week stage of the deal. However, it's not clear if that will include the names or just the number of living hostages.
A massive windstorm is battering Ireland and Scotland. Being hit with gusts of 114 miles an hour, the strongest on record. Hundreds of thousands of people have no power. Schools are closed, trains and flights canceled. Forecasters have issued a rare red weather warning, meaning danger to life. S&P futures are down 12. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks trounce the Heat. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Miami Heat 125-96 at Fiserv Forum. The win, despite some challenges, getting back to Milwaukee from New Orleans, where the Bucks were stuck in a hotel during a record-breaking snowstorm. The start time to last night's game had to be pushed back an hour. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
Showing up for a game 2 hours before the game off an airplane. My guess is that our science team would probably say not the healthiest thing to do. On the plane, we showed the guys their matchups. I told them to be prepared.
NFL, the Buffalo Bills face the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC title game Sunday at 5:30 from Arrowhead. Do the referees give the Chiefs a break when calling penalties?
I don't feel that way. I mean, I just try to play football at the end of the day. The referees are doing their best to call the game as fair and as proper as they possibly can. And all you can do is go out there and play the game that you love as hard as you can and live with the results. And so that's what we preach here in Kansas City.
That's Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Oscar nominations came out yesterday. 10 movies were nominated for Best Picture. But in the Best Supporting Actor category, there were 5 nominees, including Yuri Borisov for Anora, Edward Norton for his role opposite Timothée Chalamet in the Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown. Guy Pearce was nominated for his role in The Brutalist. Kieran Culkin for the comedy drama A Real Pain. And his Succession co-star Jeremy Strong drew a nomination for his part in The Apprentice. A Complete Unknown, The Brutalist, and Anora all drew Best Picture nominations as well. In the Best Supporting Actor Writers category, it was more good news for A Complete Unknown, as Monica Barbaro was nominated, to no one's surprise. Ariana Grande got a nod for her role in the blockbuster Wicked. Felicity Jones for The Brutalist. Isabella Rossellini is up for her role in Conclave. And after showing her musical side, the Academy recognized Zoe Saldana for her role in Emilia Perez. Every film these actresses were in was also nominated for Best Picture. Nice job, girls. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, look for mostly cloudy skies with a high near 20, wind chills around zero. For tonight, some flurries or light snow showers, lows around 16. For Saturday, mostly sunny, highs to the mid-30s. Sunny and 28 on Sunday. Monday, breezy and highs near 40. Currently 5 below zero.
Ooh, let's unplug from the politics and rock some local tunes on Max Inc. This week, we welcome Or Does It Explode and Chicago Blues Hall of Famer Paul Flipwitz. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Friday morning, January 24th, 2025. And it's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the Civic Media app, on demand by podcast, watching us on social media video. Thank you for starting your day, ending your week right here. I've got a question for you. Who said it could get this cold again? I do not recall any authorization requests for these kinds of temperatures once more around the state of Wisconsin. Don't believe me? Let me pop them up on the screen here for us to see. It's 15 below right now here in Chippewa Falls, 23 below in Hayward. Amory is at minus 6. Wausau, you're at 13 below this morning. La Crosse, minus 2. In Wisconsin Rapids, it's 15 below. Green Bay, 2 above. Madison, 7 below. Waukesha, 8 below. And at Radio Park in Racine, it's 1 degree above zero. We'll talk to Greg Bach there in just a second. Coming up on the program today. All right, we're getting to the end of the first week of a new administration. And we said we're not going to spend a lot of time with the outrage machine. But I also feel like from time to time, it's going to be important to point out some of the outrageous stuff that's going on out there. So at some point during the program, in talking maybe to Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze about media coverage of this week's events, we'll talk about the term papers, please, which is a metaphor for life under a police state. One of the headlines I caught earlier this morning was how federal officers raided a fish market in Newark, New Jersey, without warrants, according to the mayor there. It began the mass detainment of people who couldn't prove their citizenship, something, by the way, many of us can't do. You have a driver's license, that doesn't necessarily prove citizenship. Do you carry your passport with you all the time? I know I don't. Well, at least one U.S. military veteran was illegally arrested as part of that raid. And it makes you wonder, how long is it going to be until American citizens have that happening to them right here in Wisconsin? We'll also have former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel on. We'll talk about warrantless arrests in workplaces, as appears to be happening by Immigration and Customs Enforcement. We'll also get his reaction to an order from President Donald Trump. He ordered all U.S. attorneys to investigate local officials. Not that they've necessarily committed a crime, other than saying they oppose mass deportation. Are United States attorneys supposed to open criminal investigations based on the utterances of elected officials? We'll talk to Jim Santel about that as well. We will talk to Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kiev Akil, see how he's doing with the wildfire situation in California. And more wild weather for a Courier Newsroom colleague. We'll talk to one of our co-workers in Texas. Austin, Texas, to be specific, works for Courier Newsroom down there for our new outlet, Courier Texas, about the snow that blanketed parts of Texas, Louisiana, whole Gulf Coast. All that we'll talk about and more. State Senator Jeff Smith will join us at 7:05 as well to talk a bit about what's happening in the legislature this week. Along the way, of course, you can join us with your phone calls or your texts, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can also put a comment on Facebook or YouTube if you're watching us live there. I was going to come back to the snowstorm down in Texas and Louisiana in a minute here when we get to the Milwaukee Bucks game and talk about how the Bucks were even delayed getting back here for their game in Wisconsin last night. But let's say hi to Greg Bach first, because Friday is definitely a double duty day for Mr. Bach, because not only is he starting his day here, he is finishing his day at a little place called the Laughing Tap, and is going to tell us where, after a week of news that's just not too light and fluffy, we can go get your light and fluffy humor this weekend. Greg, where do we get our ha-has on?
Well, if you don't have tickets already for the Laughing Tap shows, you're only going to be able to find your ha-has at the Late Show on tomorrow at 10 p.m. because Chris Fairbanks' shows tonight early show, tomorrow early show are sold out. He is a Tap favorite. We've had him a bunch of times here at the club, and he is he's got a podcast with now I can't remember her name. I'm useless for advertisement, but trust me when I tell you that he is a very. Do You Need a Ride Home? That's the name of the podcast he's on, which is with one of the co-hosts of How to Make a murder podcast. There's a murder podcast. There's a ton of them, though. But yeah, tickets are available at laughingtap.com for the late night Saturday show tomorrow. Only $22 online, $25 at the door. No drink minimums. And I can throw it to Pat Kreitlow right now to tell you how much fun you will have.
You'll have so much fun. I mean, I had fun when we were there a couple months back. Dr. Lyerly was there last weekend, right?
She was.
Did she have fun?
She had a lot of fun, and we had a really good. I got to meet her, well, I got to see her, which was great, and then yep. I got to meet Abe in person. I got to meet his girlfriend. I got to meet Craig. It was a great, great night, and they had a blast.
That's great. We had a Craiger sighting. That's great. He kind of likes to lie low.
Yeah,
you know? It's one of those cases where she's the personality. She's out there. And which is too bad. Craig's a great guy. He's
very nice.
A law enforcement officer in the Green Bay area.
I found out he's the oldest law enforcement officer in Green Bay.
Did he tell you that or did she?
What do you think?
Kristen, shame on you. Well, good. I'm glad that they had a good time. Again, it takes a lot of work to get all of us together. Yeah. I mean, we barely got all the hosts and producers together, last Friday in Racine. So. Yeah. I'm glad Tony up in Ashland is already showing attitude. You guys made Dr. Lyerly smile and laugh. She always seems so serious and stern.
It was very, very difficult to do.
Tony, I know it's early in the morning. Shut up. Okay.
Wow. Wow, Pat Kreitlow with the attitude.
It's
okay.
Been a long week. You know that with the way the news has gone and everything. Although it's a long week for all of us. Sherry's had a long week working as well. And normally on Fridays, if you've noticed my habit, normally I have my Roy Kent coffee mug with me. Because Roy Kent is my spirit animal. And he can say things on Ted Lasso that I can't say on the radio.
Yeah.
And so I poured the coffee cup with Roy Kent and also this UW Eau Claire alumni mug that you can't see because the logo's on the other side. And Sherry's had a rough week too, so I thought maybe she could use the Roy Kent mug more than I could, so she had the Roy Kent mug. That's the story I'm telling myself anyway, because the reality is I'm so tired at the end of this week, I just grabbed the wrong mug, and that's how this whole morning has gone. I've looked at things going, did I work on that already? Did I get that done? And listening to you try to come up with the names of podcasts. We are all so ready for the weekend.
The name of the podcast is Do You Need a Ride with Chris Fairbanks and Karen Kilgariff.
Okay. There. Nailed it.
So, yeah. Tickets are only available for the Saturday Late Show. Come on down. You'll see me. I won't take your tickets. It's not like it's not a carnival. I'll check you in.
Like a train conductor, you know, tickets.
But I will ask this favor. If you do come to the Laughing Tap and you see me, and I'm the guy with the beard and a t-shirt, usually looking fairly tired, introduce yourself as someone who listens to the show. Don't just be like, hey, Greg, and then let me stew in my wonderment. Because it's very...
of how do I know you?
Yes. So, but yeah, I'd love to meet you. I'd love to shake your hand and come on down.
Yeah, it's a game that Sherry and I have to play all the time. Somebody will just come up and go, hi, Pat, hi, Sherry, or whatever. Hi, Dr. Kreitlow, whatever. And in that awkward moment, it's, do they know me from TV?
Yeah.
Do they know me from politics? Do they know me from the radio show? Are they a patient of Sherry's? Are they a neighbor? You know, have we seen them before? Don't know. So, yeah, the folks that come up and go, hey, I'm so-and-so, I such-and-such. Oh, yeah, great. Because and then you can follow it up with, by the way, this is the fourth time I've told you my name. And we'll feel embarrassed, but at least now we'll know where we know you from, right?
My name is Steve. That's right. That's your name. That's your name. Yep.
We have this wonderful partnership, Sherry and I, with that kind of a situation where we'll recognize right away that we don't know who this person is. And so let's say they come up and talk to me.
Uh-huh.
Sherry will right away put her hand out and go, hey, I'm Sherry. What's your name? And then they'll go, Steve. I'll go, you're right. It is Steve. Steve Areno. Yes.
Steve Doo-Doo. No, I'll walk up to Bridget and just like kind of give her like a nice emotional, like full, just like a hug from behind or just like looks like a kiss on the neck.
Uh-huh.
And I'll just be like, introduce yourself. And she will. And it'll be great.
Oh, that's perfect. I got this last night as well while we were out to dinner, somebody coming up and recognizing Sherry, also recognizing me. But it's been, this year marks 20 years since I left the TV station.
Yeah.
And I was there for 10 years doing the news. But every so often we still get the, I used to watch you when you did the weather. And I got that last night again, and I, with some friends, were out to dinner with us, and again, we just kind of exchanged that look. I don't want to make people feel bad, so I don't correct them. I mean, that was 20 years ago. So and the friends are all looking at me, and I give them a quick like, kind of like Jim on The Office, how he looks at the camera now and then.
Yeah.
It's just kind of one of those like, yeah, I know, comes with the territory. It's fine. What is? Oh God, I was about to do a Jerry Seinfeld. What is the deal?
What's the deal with Pop-Tarts?
As I'm looking at some of the headlines today. What is the thing about Buc-ee's, this convenience store out of Texas?
Yeah, so Buc-ee's is incredibly popular in the South, and they're coming to Wisconsin. They're coming to Oak Creek, and I believe they're coming to Madison. And I knew it was happening because if you drive southbound on 94 towards Illinois, there's a sign for Buc-ee's that says 429 miles, and that's 7.5 hours away. And I'm like, well, that means they're coming here then. And they'll probably put a new sign up that says, 4 miles. They're like Quick Trip, but bigger. It's like a grocery store, convenience store.
At some point, it's no longer a convenience store. I mean, if it's a warehouse, right?
I mean, it's on my way home, so it's convenient for me.
I guess. I mean, that's the thing. Location, cleanliness. The first thing that got me as a Quick Trip regular customer, honestly, was the low fees for the ATM. And then, of course, you notice, God, their bathrooms are always clean. Mm-hmm. Then they added hot food, and they're always friendly. And, of course, Culver's, same way, friendly, clean, all that. So if Buc-ee's has got that, that's great. But I know, they like a lot of things in the South. Moonshine, saddling up cockroaches and going for rides.
You know, the South can make fun of us for our things, too. All right. So, but I don't think Buc-ee's will have the presence that Quick Trip has.
I don't think they will. Yeah. I think we'll, but hey, welcome. Nice to have you here anyway.
Hi, guys.
We'll talk about today's news in just a bit, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Friday morning. When you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
A new choice, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, 540 WAUK.
No more mold, no more damage, no more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Neverclear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower, interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you, too, can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Ladies and gentlemen, in today's history lesson, it is Neil Diamond's birthday. We'll tell you more about that right after this Greg Bach impression of his Love on the Rocks.
Love on the Rocks!
Love on the Rocks!
Ain't no surprise.
Ain't no surprise!
Just pour me a dream.
It's Neil Diamond doing his impression of Joe Cocker, I think. But
yeah, pretty much, yeah. I don't have a Neil Diamond.
You just got to get that. You just sing the blues all the time.
Who wants to have a Merry Christmas?
More about Neil Diamond coming up in just a bit here on Up North News Radio, 6:22 on this Friday morning. The Milwaukee Bucks not only had their game in New Orleans postponed because of a snowstorm there, it delayed them getting back to Wisconsin. But after a short delay, last night's game got underway against the Miami Heat, and the Bucks won 125-96 for their fifth win in a row. They next play tomorrow. They get right back on the road. They're in Los Angeles to play the Clippers. There's a news story about them being stranded in New Orleans. They basically just had to stay in their hotel. I mean, the streets were all closed. There's no snowplows there. So they were stuck in this hotel for 3 days, got to know the entire staff by name because the staff couldn't go home either. They were stranded in there. So they were using one of the conference rooms to do a little ball dribbling just to try to stay warmed up. And Giannis Antetokounmpo said, "Ate a lot of gumbo. A lot of gumbo, man. I got tired of gumbo." I didn't think anybody in New Orleans got tired of the gumbo, but apparently 3 days in a row of it will do it to you. Maybe that hotel staff needs to expand their menu just a little bit. Anyway, the Bucks were winners, and they play Saturday in L.A. against the Clippers. Let's see. We've got some hockey coming up on WFHR, our station in Wisconsin Rapids. You can hear the Badger men's hockey team versus Michigan. Coverage begins tonight at 6:30, tomorrow at 7, and, of course, on the Civic Media app as well. The Badger men's basketball team can be heard on some Civic Media radio stations Sunday against Nebraska. Coverage begins at 11 o'clock Sunday morning on stations in Amory, Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center, and, again, the Civic Media app. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. The Marquette men's basketball team is home tonight, hosting Villanova. And let's see, the women's hockey team, number one ranked in the country, the Badger women's hockey team is home against St. Cloud State Saturday and Sunday. Both of those games are sold out. All right, let's get to some things that are in the news today, and they include the confirmation hearings that are still going on for members of President Trump's cabinet. And that would include his incoming agriculture secretary, a woman by the name of Brooke Rollins, who has very little farming experience, but she was a domestic policy advisor during the first Trump administration, and has said all the usual things about, you know, I'm willing to learn all that there is to need to know to serve the president, blah, blah, blah. She was asked at her confirmation hearing about Trump and mass deportations. Keep in mind that, I mean, even a couple of city kids like us sitting at this radio station have heard by now that up to 80% of all the labor done on Wisconsin dairy farms is done by undocumented immigrants. Why? They would like to be on a path to citizenship. They would like to be legal, but there's still no year-round agricultural work visa. So there's no way for them to be documented, like there is if you're harvesting crops, where you can get a short-term agricultural visa. And Republicans in Congress from Wisconsin have refused to support bills in the past that would allow for this. There's never been a more important time to come up with a solution that would get more migrant laborers legal so that they could continue to do the work on our farms and all the other great jobs that they do. Does Brooke Rollins have anything to say about those things when it comes to mass deportations? Here's about 30 seconds of what she had to say during her hearing yesterday.
Listen, the president's vision of a secure border and a mass deportation at a scale that matters is something I support. I was his domestic policy director in the last White House. I have built and led an organization alongside Chad Wolf, our former Secretary of Homeland Security, at the America First Policy Institute. I want to be extremely transparent, and I think that you deserve that. That is my commitment, is to help President Trump deploy his agenda in an effective way.
You might be too young to recall this, but back in 1975, Gerald Ford was the president. New York City was going through a horrible financial crisis. The country was going through a financial crisis. And there were several attempts to help the federal government bail out New York City. And President Ford rejected a deal that had been struck, a bipartisan deal. The headline in the New York Post rather infamously said this: Ford to City, drop dead. That's what you had yesterday. You had Trump's agriculture secretary saying to farmers all across Wisconsin, drop dead. Yeah, we know you rely on labor. You've told us repeatedly how much you need us to work on this solution, but we don't want to. Donald Trump just wants to round up as many brown people as he can and ship them out, which is why yesterday Immigrations and Custom Enforcement and Homeland Security officers raided a fish market in Newark, New Jersey. Rounded up people. Just started rounding up, you know, people that looked like they might not be from here, including a U.S. military veteran. It's not going to be that much longer, folks, until that happens to a farm in Wisconsin, a meatpacking plant in Green Bay, a manufacturing plant. The fish market owner told a TV station something along the lines of he just couldn't believe that this could happen to him. He didn't say he voted for Trump, though it wouldn't have surprised me, because everybody thinks, oh, they're going to go after, you know, the criminals. They're going to go after the bad immigrants. And that's not how this works. That's not how this was ever going to work. And so the roundups are underway. And they are going to come to Wisconsin farms, which is scary. I don't want to scare people in Wisconsin working hard on these farms. But Trump's agriculture secretary just put it very bluntly. She doesn't care. And so it's only a matter of time. I'm going to mention one more topic briefly, and then we'll talk to Kia Vakil and one of our Courier Newsroom colleagues from Texas. You'll recall that CBS 58 in Milwaukee, meteorologist Sam Cuffell was let go for criticizing Elon Musk's Nazi salute. The local newspaper is running an article going, what do you think about this? And printing things from both sides. Could we please agree not to both sides a Nazi adjacent salute? Please don't both sides that. Thank you. More after this. You're up north.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Boy, lots of different elements lately influencing our dairy prices, including policy. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news, and of course in America's Dairyland, we pay a lot of attention to what's going on in dairy. Katie Burgess, one of the broker analysts with EverAg, says it's not just outside forces like global exports that are pressuring our dairy prices. You also have to keep an eye on domestic policies and things like federal milk marketing order reform that could impact Class 3 prices we depend on here in Wisconsin.
Yesterday, we saw the market continue to fall. Spot cheese prices now at the lowest level since mid-December. And with that, it's led to a lot of volatility in Class 3 milk prices as well. I mean, for instance, earlier this month, February milk was up above $21. Yesterday, it was getting pretty close to 19. So the market's been making some big swings. I think part of that is as we get into the new year, there is cheese out there. And with new cheese plants coming online, we're going to be making more. And so that took a market that was a little bit fired up to start the year, and it's simmering out.
Katie Burgess, one of the dairy specialists with EverAg, she said, you have to remember, though, we still have the Super Bowl. A lot of cheese consumed on that one day alone. And in fact, yesterday, cheese prices did rally a little bit in Chicago. I've got your numbers next.
Make the best of wintertime fun at the 4th Annual Sun Prairie Frozen Fest, January 29th through February 2nd, presented by the Bank of Sun Prairie. It's a fantastic opportunity to enjoy a variety of winter activities like the puzzle contest, cardboard sled classic, winter beer garden, bonfire, hibernation hustle 5K, pancake breakfast, and the 77th Annual Groundhog Day Prognostication. For more about Frozen Fest, log on to cityofsunprairie.com.
Just like some farm projects, they start out small, but they become gigantic. Bobcat Plus can relate. Bobcat Plus, Wisconsin's largest Bobcat dealer, has been in the family since 1991. They started out as one small dealer and now have grown to six locations. Butler, De Pere, Appleton, Eau Claire, Osseo, and their newest location, Kenosha. They offer new and used Bobcat equipment, parts and service, and rentals at every location to help your ag operation. Visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat. One tough animal. All right, as I said yesterday in Chicago, barrel cheese was up a penny at 182, 40-pound block cheese, 4.5 higher at 182, while double-A butter dropped a penny to 251 and a quarter. February Class 3 milk that goes into cheese was up 18 cents at 1915, March up a penny at 1902 on the dairy complex. March corn was up a nickel and a half at 489 and three quarters. December new crop up nearly a nickel at 464 and a quarter. March soybeans were up 9.5, 1065 and a half, with November up 6.5, 1053 and a quarter. I'm Pam Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, look for mostly cloudy skies with a high near 20, wind chills around zero. For tonight, some flurries or light snow showers, lows around 16. For Saturday, mostly sunny, highs to the mid-30s. Sunny and 28 on Sunday, Monday, breezy and highs near 40. It's 3 below at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbush Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, James Santel will discuss how to defend the Constitution. Also, how many pardoned J6ers violently attacked police officers? And what's in the RFK and MLK Jr. assassination files? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Mm-hmm.
And welcome back on this Friday morning, 6:34 the time. And as promised, as always on Fridays, Courier Newsroom senior political correspondent Kia Vakil joins us from California. Kia, good morning to you.
Good morning, Pat.
And this time, last week, we had Cam Stevenson from the Copper Courier in Arizona. Now it's time for another one of our Courier Newsroom colleagues from Texas. Matt Henney joins us now from Austin. Matt, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Hello, hello.
Can you tell us more about the Courier Newsroom product in Texas? Because it's relatively new.
It is. We launched in September, and we have reporters and team members all over the state. In Austin, I'm here in Austin. We have a team in Dallas, which is our first focus for Courier Texas. And then we have a couple folks in Houston, where we will soon be expanding that effort and having sort of a Houston hub as well. So our goal is to build a statewide newsroom in Texas.
So Courier Texas is the name of it. So I'm guessing couriertexas.com maybe?
At Courier Texas for all the socials, and couriertexas.com is the website. Yes. Okay.
Great. Now people can go read what's going on over there. So what has been going on over there? Anything happening? Let me set up the theme better than that. Last week for Kia, it was fire. So we're going from fire to ice and snow. And you guys got a little weather down there this week.
We did. In places like Houston, where it hasn't snowed in decades, they got around 4 inches. So they got a couple of snow days. Even in Austin, which also has not seen snow in, I don't know about decades, but we have had snow. Just got a little bit here, probably a quarter of an inch, but it was Austin. We're not used to snow like any good southern city, so it shut us down for a day or two. And pretty frigid weather all across the state. Even got snow in Galveston on the beach. So it was a lot of fun for a lot of people. There was sort of a tragic side to the weather as well. So far, from what we found, there's been about 10 storm-related deaths, 5 in southeast Texas, 2 here in Austin, and 3 in Houston and Harris County. And the ones in Houston and Austin were exposure-related, likely unsheltered folks who were not able to get to shelter or didn't go to shelter and struggled with the freezing temperatures, sub-freezing temperatures, actually.
It's just always, there is this human tragedy involved. There are deaths, of course, in Southern California, where we find Kia. And Kia, how are you since we visited last week? You haven't had to evacuate again since we last spoke.
No, we've been here, thankfully. There have been, I think, one or two small additional fires, and then a huge fire that erupted yesterday. But those are, you know, not near me. And even the big one is not in a, you know, populated area at the moment. So we're okay. The air is not quite normal yet, but we're doing okay. So,
and yet, the president of the United States, the new one, continues saying and said again this week after taking office that he should be looking into strings being attached to any federal aid that's out there. First off, my first question to you is: are you seeing federal assistance at this point, or is this still pretty much a state and local matter?
No, there's definitely federal assistance. You know, I'm pretty far from both of the fire sites, so I have not personally gone and seen it, but FEMA has been on the ground. And, you know, California is a huge state. It could, you know, it has a huge economy, but, you know, we need federal support. And to see that continued, you know, political football of, oh, we'll give you support only if you, you know, we put conditions on it because you guys are run by Democrats, continues to be infuriating. And, you know, I saw that, you know, Democrats, Hakeem Jeffries, the minority leader of the House, you know, said that's a non-starter, which is good because that sets a really bad precedent. It's not going to be long before there's another natural disaster in a red state or in a blue state or in a purple state, and you never want to condition that stuff. You know, you should not do a cold civil war with emergency response funding. That's just a terrible idea.
Yeah, I mean, again, something we never even would have talked about once upon a time. Matt, anything even remotely close to that in terms of people playing politics with the storm? I especially think of a few years back when Texas had a terrible cold snap. And people died there too, because the electric grid down there is its own beast, And people took a lot of heat, no pun intended, for the way the grid system in Texas failed. This time around, it was just more of Mother Nature dumping snow. But has there been anything remotely close to folks trying to, you know, make political hay out of the unusual weather there?
There hasn't been so far, but Texas is also a state that's run by Republican allies of the new president and a governor who, in fact, on Monday got a extended sort of shout out from President Trump in his speech after the inaugural address. So I think if there's going to be disasters here, that the possibility of it becoming a political football like has happened in California is probably reduced because of the relationship between the governor and the president, and even the attorney general here. But you'd mentioned the 2021 storm, which devastated the state and killed 250 some odd people and collapsed the power grid here. And I think ever since that, the state, and even from the governor to local jurisdictions, have been very responsive when storms roll through. We saw it a couple weeks ago when the first Arctic blast came through Texas. The governor went to pains to be visible and showing how the state was preparing for that. And then you saw that locally with the buildup to the storm that just hit earlier this week. The Austin mayor and his emergency preparedness folks were out, had press conferences, toured, had the media at their emergency center, and that's why the city shut down. Same happened in Houston and Harris County. The frontline officials were out very early and very publicly to help prepare the region for whatever might come, so that so they wouldn't be looking like they were caught flat-footed, like happened 3 years ago, 4 years ago now.
And speaking of Governor Greg Abbott, and you alluded to this, the headline in the Courier DFW at couriertexas.com says, "Inauguration bromance. Trump praises Abbott as he promises deportations and more miles of border wall," with the governor in the audience during the inauguration. So it has definitely been a good week for the Texas governor in that sense, that he's got what I would call a partner in cruelty now.
Absolutely. And you saw that on Monday when the two sort of had their own private discussion on national television, as Trump praised the governor. And the governor here has spent $11 billion over the last few years with Operation Lone Star, which has been his effort to militarize the border and try to deal in his own way with immigration and drugs that are coming over. But also it's been a political issue, and the governor has been very adept at making it a political issue in the same way that the president has. And that's sort of where that bromance came from on Monday. They talked about the border and immigration and the actions that later in the day Trump started taking in terms of sealing off the border and cutting off the CPB app that immigrants use to schedule immigration hearings and other things. The governor here has used a lot of state resources to militarize the border, and now the president is trying to do that with the military as well, and bring them to Texas and all along the border to further his plans.
And there will be obviously a lot of talk about this. Kia, we spoke earlier in the show about the president's agriculture secretary nominee, Brooke Rollins, and her comments of favoring mass deportation, never mind what it would do to, you know, dairy farming in Wisconsin. But it is clear if the ag secretary nominee, who understands just what an impact mass deportations would have, if even she is unwilling to, in any way, shape, or form, stand up to Trump, or at least try to, you know, take a little something off the edges. It's clear that at least for the first week of the administration, his team is very much on brand.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we should expect any one of his appointees to remotely dissent from anything he's trying to do. You know, it's 9 years into this, it's a cult of personality. Anyone who would have stood up to him has been pushed out of the party, essentially. And certainly his appointees are people who are going to, you know, do whatever he wants. You know, maybe over the next couple of years, there might be rare instances where that shifts. But in general, yeah, I don't think we should expect to see Brooke Rollins or any of these other folks do anything but toe the line. You know, even if that line does wind up devastating, not just, you know, dairy farmers in Wisconsin, but the, you know, the building sector in Texas or the construction workforce in California or farm workers all over the country. A lot of these industries, you know, and setting aside whether this is good or bad, you know, I don't think it's great that we, you know, underpay migrant workers and exploit them. But setting aside the moral part of it, it's going to destroy these industries. And that's on top of the moral element of, you know, you're going to make millions of families live in fear and try to get them to self-deport or just stay at home and live in, you know, abject poverty. It's troubling, to say the least. And, you know, I think that Brooke Rollins and all these other folks are, you know, just racing to execute that agenda, you know, is not surprising, unfortunately. But I think once we start seeing these sorts of raids that they're promising, and once it starts having a tangible effect, not just on communities, but on industries, I think that's when things might start to kick off in terms of pushback.
And to Kia's point, the impact in Texas is massive as well. There's 1.6 million undocumented immigrants in the state. And, you know, to just to think about their impact on different industries here, construction for one, as places like Austin and Houston and Dallas try to deal with their housing affordability and housing shortage, you know, the impact of what's going to happen to these 1.6 million people is just sort of mind-boggling to think about.
Well, the impact on people, you know, has never stopped Trump before. And in remarks that he made yesterday to the gathering in Davos, Switzerland, he reveled in declaring a national emergency and repelling an invasion when, in fact, illegal border crossings dropped substantially in the last year of the Biden administration. But, Kia, I don't sense that we're going to hear much other than these kinds of migrant bashing culture war issues that we've heard consistently, in part because, and this is what we're going to wrap up on here, it seems pretty apparent from the early drafts that we're seeing about how Republicans would handle extending the 2017 tax cuts. Mm-hmm. They are not going to want to talk about that part of it. They'd rather continue talking about the border and the woke mob than the Medicaid cuts and everything else that they are already baking into extending mm-hmm. the 2017 tax cuts for the rich.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to try to obscure that stuff because it's deeply unpopular and would affect a lot of their own voters, frankly. You know, lots of rural communities rely on Medicaid. And if you gut that program, it will devastate those places that overwhelmingly vote for Donald Trump and elect Republican representatives. And yeah, I mean, I think we're going to see, you know, Trump does not actually care about policy details. Like he's not in the weeds on this. It's going to be whatever the House winds up crafting or, you know, whichever rich real estate tycoon friend of his emails him to be like, put this in the bill. But we know that they have a really small majority in the House, that there's a lot of conflicting ideologies in terms of, you know, what kinds of tax cuts to give and to who, and whether a deficit matters and whether it doesn't. And so you're going to start to see they almost entirely agree on, you know, cutting Medicaid and, you know, food benefits for people. But I think, yeah, they're going to try to, obfuscate what they're actually doing by demonizing immigrants or demonizing Democrats or demonizing leftists or demonizing gay people or demonizing trans people. You know, we've already seen a congressman call for a minister to be deported for asking the president to give mercy to immigrants. So, you know, it's going to escalate really quickly to try to, I don't even know if it's entirely to distract from their financial agenda, but it's going to get ugly.
It's a nice side effect if they can get their tax cuts through the way that they want them to. Kia Vakil will continue to follow that. From Los Angeles, Matt Henney from Courier, Texas. Guys, we're normally so jealous of you this time of year for your weather and your conditions. Not right now. So I hope your weather and your conditions improve so we can be jealous of you again real soon. Matt, great to meet you. Thank you so much for being on today.
Thanks. Appreciate the opportunity.
You bet. Kia, have a great weekend.
You too.
And we will have today's history lesson right after this. This is Up North News Radio from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Is there an absolute right and wrong in things and in society?
Sure.
So somebody on the other side is clearly supporting something that is wrong, and I'm supposed to...
Well, it's a two-way street. I think if we all would become open to talk and dialogue, we could get somewhere. The space between you can only be bridged by trying to understand what it is the other person is thinking and why.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
You know who we're freaking out right now? Jim Santel someplace is going, wait, am I on? Wait, am I late?
I hear my theme song.
No, Jim, you'll be on later. Don't worry. This is the anniversary of the birth of the late, great Warren Zevon, who was born this day in 1947, passed away way too soon in 2006 at the age of 53. He was born in Chicago, and we'll play a little bit more a little bit later on. Also in today's history lesson, this is the anniversary of the birth of the late, great John Belushi. Again, lost too soon. This, of course, would be the Blues Brothers with Dan Aykroyd. John Belushi lost in 1982 at the age of 33. We mentioned the earlier birthday, and yes, this is his real name, Neil Diamond, not a stage name. 84 years old today, Matt.
Song like this, you can really hear the inflection. Because he used to write for the Monkees and a lot of other people, but like, yes, he like, oh, I can hear the Monkees singing this.
Oh yeah, you totally could. He worked in the infamous Brill Building where they just pumped out top 40 hits throughout the entire 60s and I think 70s. Neil Diamond was, I mean, I know every lyric because my mom was such a super fan. Played those 8 tracks over and over and over again. The California Gold Rush began on this day in 1848 when a fellow named James Marshall found gold at Sutter's Mill near Sacramento.
Wow.
I saw, you know, there's this show out there that I saw out the corner of my eye where we were out to dinner last night. And it's not specifically about the Gold Rush, but in that area, it's about the building of the Transcontinental Railroad. It's called Hell on Wheels is the name of it. had never seen it before.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This was the same bar that instead of playing sports, they play all these dramas like Yellowstone and Game of Thrones and all that. And I just always wonder about this bar owner because it's the most depressing, violent stuff that's on this.
Yeah.
I'm all the time saying, can we put on sports? Any sports, please?
Can we play Ted Lasso? I want to feel good.
I don't want to watch this guy getting tortured and stuff like that. But yeah, the California Gold Rush was responsible for a whole lot of folks moving starting this day in 1848. Boy, here's another big birthday. We mentioned Neil Diamond, 84. Aaron Neville is 83 years old today.
Wow.
Everybody plays the fool sometimes.
I'm going to be the first to admit that, you know, during the early years of listening to Aaron Neville, I always say, the falsetto thing, it's not really not my cup of tea. And as the years have gone by, I'm like, you really appreciate how smooth he is.
And then you find out he's from, like, a huge music family in New Orleans.
Yes, yes, very much so. Let's see. Aaron Zommers put this one in the history notes a couple of years back, and he forgot to put a pronouncer in. When we talk about the synthesizer...
You going to get it right or you going to get it wrong, Pat?
I'm probably going to get it wrong, but I was pretty sure Aaron told me it's Dr. Robert Moog of the Moog synthesizer.
Hold on.
Wait, judges? Oh, I got it right! Yes!
It's Moog. Rhymes with Vogue.
Even though it looks like Moog, it's Moog.
It's Moog.
On this day in 1970, Dr. Robert Moog unveiled the Mini Moog, the first popular portable and comparatively affordable synthesizer with a price tag, this is in 1970, of $2,000, which would be worth more than $15,000 today. But it's been featured on countless records and is still sought out today.
If you want to see what a synthesizer back in 1970 or like even 75 looks like, Stevie Wonder used to play him, and he had to hire men to like unplug and plug and keep plugging while he was playing because these things were supercomputers.
Yeah, for their time. I mean, it was like being at the in the Mormon Tabernacle.
Yeah.
The organ that's that big. That's how big some of these early synthesizers were. The number one song this day in 1976 was by Diana Ross.
Do you know where you're going to? Do you like the things that life is showing you?
This was the theme from Mahogany. Again, a case where nobody remembers the movie anymore, but remembers the song. Novelty song singer Ray Stevens. Boy, we've got another guy in his 80s for his birthday today. Ray Stevens is 85 today.
Here comes
boogity, boogity.
There goes
boogity, boogity.
And he ain't wearing no clothes.
Oh, yes, they call him the street.
Jeez.
Fastest thing on 2 feet.
I have to admit, it's weird being at this age now where people go, hey, Grandpa, did this thing really happen? And I'm like, yeah, streaking was really a thing back in the 70s. It was very controversial, you know, but it was we were coming out of the 60s. What do you expect, right? I'm making excuses for streakers now. Great.
Pretty much.
On this day in 1998, the Titanic soundtrack hit number one on the album chart. We'll hear Celine Dion's big cut from there a little later on. And finally, on this day in 2005, the Britney Spears album Oops, I Did It Again was certified diamond.
Oh, baby, baby,
and you're saying, you know, what's the big deal? So she sold 10 million copies of that album. She actually became the first female artist to sell diamond 10 million copies of both of her first two albums. So
also in today's day and age, selling 10 million albums is an achievement.
Yes, it
is. You don't really have album sales of that kind regularly anymore. Back in the 80s and 90s, all the time.
Yes. It's Macintosh Computer Day, Peanut Butter Day, Beer Can Appreciation Day, International Cell Phone Recycling Day, and National Compliment Day. Greg, that's a wonderful t-shirt, and you're doing a great job.
Pat, you're a great host, and I love your glasses.
You guys are great listeners. Come on back out.
A new choice. Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, Sandy Williams will be here to give his final thoughts on the first week of Trump administration, and we'll be joined by journalist Candy Stroud to discuss the legacy of President Jimmy Carter.
The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings, 8 till 10.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. President Trump is wrapping up his first week back in office with a trip outside of Washington, D.C. Correspondent Naomi Ruckum reports.
Today, President Donald Trump heads to hurricane-ravaged communities in North Carolina, then to Los Angeles, where destructive wildfires continue to burn.
The Senate will come to order.
In Washington, a final Senate vote could come as soon as today on former Fox News host Pete Hegseth's nomination for Defense Secretary. Hegseth cleared yesterday's procedural vote in the Senate, despite opposition from all of the Democrats and two Republicans, Maine's Susan Collins and Alaska's Lisa Murkowski.
The Trump administration's begun carrying out the president's directives on undocumented immigrants. CBS New York's Allie Bauman says they arrested several people working at a store.